Luke, I want to tell you, I've been to Arizona, and God is there. We hung out, so it's going to be great. This is really tall. Hi. I'm glad you're here. It's better when you're here, right? I'm not going to get wet here. I'm staying this way. All right, this is a celebration service. We were taking a look back, right, at what God's done, and we're in a time for gratitude. It's a time that can build our faith. I mean, if we ask God to do something once and he did it, and maybe he'll do it again. Before we move forward, I'm going to pause. I'm going to thank God for what he's done, and I'm going to ask him to do more, like today in this service. So let's pray. God, we are grateful and humbled that you choose to act and interact in and around our lives. And I ask that you do that this morning, right here in this service. Give us ears to listen, eyes to see what you're doing. Amen. We are blessed people. I mean, God has done a lot of things around here. We've asked him to move, and he's done it. Here's just a sampling of the things that we've had a chance to be a part of, like just a little bit. And lest you think these are small things, like normal things, perhaps even things we deserve, that's not true. These wouldn't happen without a supernatural act of God himself. The gospel, like the good news, dare I say great news that we have to share. You have shared it. And people have responded, like God has called people to himself. Amazing. Scarlet Cleanup, there's a path, a woods behind Scarlet Middle School in East Ann Arbor, and we teamed up with Manfred and Judy, who have faithfully maintained that beautiful area and space for their community. I mean, Judy, she taught me and my kids how to cut buckthorn down and then put bags over the stump thingy to choke it out. It was awesome. We've teamed up with Christian Love Fellowship with their food distribution. So good, they added another one. And we're also with Christian Love Fellowship, with that same group of people, got a chance to provide Christmas presents. The city side of the church, the campus side of the church, coming together, teaming up with our brothers and sisters at Christian Love to love people. We had a huge group go to Spring Hill for a youth retreat. And let me tell you, so much sleep was lost. Right? Fun was had, and people got a chance to continue to grow their individual walks with God in community. We were witness to 27 people declaring who's in charge of their lives by getting baptized. And for me, I mean, seeing someone get baptized, it never gets old. Practical side. I'm a very practical person. The bulletin. Come on now. Dan Chen, he took something, made it readable. It has pictures, sometimes movies. It comes to you. You don't even have to leave your house. It goes wherever you are. It is amazing. The house next door, it became the freeze house. And you should know, I was told this is for students. I haven't been in there since. I'm not a student. I've never been a student even when I was enrolled in school. But that place has never been used more than in the last 8 months. It's been awesome. We had a palooza in the fall. Good times. As a church, we had a chance to explore how God has gifted each of us individually, and then to explore what would it look like if we were all using these gifts together to show people Jesus. I can't wait to see what God's done. We have enjoyed, stay with me now, so many mints, so many. Here's the thing, I'm not on the advertising team here, but this could be our tagline. If your breath needs revivifying, come to new lifeifying. Kyle has been known to say to all of you, it matters that you're here, and I suppose that that's true. I have been known to come in on a Sunday morning and walk to that bowl of mints and say, it matters that you're here. We're keeping the mints. These are just a taste, a look at some of the things that God has done. Sure, we played a part. I mean, we've done stuff. But perspective is important in times of reflection like this. You know, Paul shares a good reflection in his letter to the church in Corinth, recorded in 1 Corinthians. Paul, he spent time in this city with these people. You can read about it in Acts chapter 18. And during this time, he told people about Jesus, like who he was and what he'd done in his life. And from this, a church was born in this city. And during, he stays there about a year and a half, and then he moves on to continue the thing that he had just been doing, telling people who Jesus was and what he had done. And during this time, while he's not with them, he stays connected to this local church. And he starts to hear of problems that were arising. Things weren't going completely well, and these concerns grew, and so he decided to write a letter back to address some of these things. And the first problem that he addresses is around the idea that divisions were starting to happen. And you see, after Paul left, other good, God-fearing people came, and they continued the work that had started there. And this was good. And as can happen, sometimes something good can, you know, get turned a little bit and get messed up. In the community, it wasn't too unlike communities that we see. You know, people, they had picked their favorites. Maybe some people liked Apollos's his jokes. Perhaps Paul's, like, his straightforward way of communicating was just right for them. Or maybe Peter, they just loved his poems. I suppose this, all those things, in having a favorite isn't bad in and of itself. But what was happening, people were starting to, like lift their favorite up and taking other people's favorites down, and divisions began to appear. And by the time Paul pens his letter, this was a big problem, and he addresses this in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians. He says this starting in verse 3. You are still worldly, Paul. He just goes. He doesn't mince words. He's jumping right in here. For since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another says, I follow Apollos, are you not mere human beings? What, after all, is Apollos? And what is Paul? Only servants through whom you came to believe. As the Lord has assigned to each his task, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. And the church is caught up in the who is the best teacher. And Paul's saying to the church, it's not like who told you what was done. It's more important who did the doing. The church, it's supposed to be centered on Jesus and the good news about who he is and what he's done. And so as we look back at what God's done, we celebrate the one who actually did the doing. Oh, sure, we're a part of it, some planting, some watering, some talking to the plants and singing to them. I grow tomatoes, I sing to them, I talk to them, and they grow. But these things are all important. They're all important. But they're just acts unless God does something only he can do, make something grow. These things that we've seen around here are acts of God, and so thus we worship. Paul goes on in his letter to address other concerns and problems. He responds to these with some facet of the gospel. He's trying to teach these people in this church to look at every single part of their life through the lens of the gospel. You see, Paul loved these people. He had invested in them. He had spent time. He had taken a risk and told them who Jesus was and what he's done, and people responded. And in the beginning of the letter that he wrote, he's kind of reintroducing himself, and he talks about the fact that he had baptized some of these people. And this is a big deal because baptism is a step in choosing to follow Jesus with your entire life. Disciples, like true Jesus followers, grew from the seeds that Paul planted. A few weeks ago, we had a baptism service. There was some movie about it, and we had the privilege of witnessing what God had done in people's lives, and it was fun. We had an air horn that was not planned, but appreciated. So much fun, we're going to do it again today. Now, salvation is not found in baptism. Salvation is found in what Jesus did. Jesus, he came, and he lived a perfect life. And then he died in our place to pay the debt of our sin that we could not pay on our own. And he was buried, and then he rose from the dead. And it is trusting in that, trusting in his work and not our work, where salvation comes from. Baptism is how we tell each other that I'm following Jesus, and I'm going to follow him with you. And today we have four people who are going to be baptized. It's going to be great. If you're here, and we did this last time, it was talked about during the slice. If you're here and you had not planned on getting baptized today, we can help you do that. We've planned for it. We're ready. You can go, like right now. I'm going to keep talking. I will not be, you should know, I'm never offended if you just walk out in the middle of my talking. But now, like, I'm inviting you to go to the lobby. You can meet with one of the members of the elder minister team, and they would love to help you see if today is the day that you should get baptized. We have clothes for you to change into. Like I said, we're ready. It'll be great. But at this time, we're going to have the privilege of hearing from the four people that have planned to get baptized. We're going to get a chance to hear about what God has done in their lives to bring them to this point. And then the person who's baptizing them will share just a little bit about what that person brings to the body of Christ.